Thank you.
Hi. Some people not quite sure what this is about. Once upon a time, I had a need to distribute changes to a bunch of systems. So, kind of trivial change, I wanted to update my Bash RC to do something a bit different. And we had about a dozen systems back in those days, and it just started to get to be a little bit of a problem, you know, to do this sort of code for updating them all, and I thought there's got to be a better way. So wrote some more. Hang on, what's happened there? Oh, there's some problems with that, of course. Yeah, Wittgenstein is not the easiest of names for servers, as we found, and we've since gone to Mill and Hume and other four-letter philosophers. And also, there was more than a dozen systems, and I missed a couple. I'd forgotten, even when there's only 12, you can easily forget a couple. But there's other problems with it. You know, it doesn't scale well. If we had 24 servers, it gets harder. It doesn't cope so well with systems that are more complexly firewalled. One of the situations we have at Catalyst is where we have quite deeply firewalled networks. So one client might have sort of a cluster of, say, 24 servers, and three of them are web servers, and half a dozen application servers, maybe, you know, four or five firewalls sort of separating this bit from that bit, and so on. And so you can end up that you've got to SSH through several hosts to get to the one that you want to get to, or you've got to have VPNs in place and so on. And these are the systems that are owned by a particular client. They've got a particular job to do. So it gets quite complex getting into that. And so I wrote another shell script that made it easier to SSH through multiple systems and alias that to NSSH or something. And that was starting to get pretty stupid. So all of these were Debian systems. We're pretty keen on Debian for some reason. I thought, well, let's leverage the power of what these systems are and the package management system in Debian to do this in a simpler way. One of the things, of course, when you start looking at that is there are a lot of other approaches to management of systems, and doing it using Debian packages to do systems administration tasks, to maintain standardized configurations and standardized sets of software. People say, well, why not just use FAI or you know, all the other many solutions? If you want to have users that can all log on to all these systems, why don't you just have an LDAP directory somewhere? That's all very well, but when you've got this sort of deeply firewalled setup, you've got a machine sitting on a client's LAN somewhere in Auckland or Sydney or something like that, and you're sitting in Wellington, you've kind of got a whole lot of extra points of failure that you're introducing, and you don't want those points of failure to impact on your ability to maintain the systems. So it would also end up being pretty expensive if you've got to maintain separate networks just to be able to distribute your user base across these systems. So we started looking at using Debian packages for user management. So to create an account on a system, you would install Catalyst-Andrew-Ruthven or Catalyst-Penny Leach or someone like that. And also, you know, grouping access as well. So to install the systems administration teams packages, we would install a package called Catalyst System Administration Team, things like that, which is basically a meta package. But it's quite a simple mechanism, and seems to work well. You know, we've gone from that state where we had maybe a dozen computers running systems. We're currently looking after maybe 300 of those sort of things, and it's a much bigger environment now. As it stands, we are starting to run into some scaling issues, but they're not insoluble sort of scaling problems. There's also, once you start using Debian packages to do this sort of thing, you get a lot more opportunities to do it. So when you've defined a standard way of doing things across the organization, you can implement that into a Debian package. It's quite straightforward. So we spent a bunch of time looking at log file analysis, and of course Debian has a package for everything, and usually a dozen packages for everything, and I'm pretty sure that Apache log file analysis is one of those cases. So we picked one that looked pretty good, standardized on it, and then we wrote a package that scripted it. So we ended up with a one-line configuration for a new website on a box, things like that. Yeah. Another thing that we did is a package that we use for managing the state of the system. So when you've got a lot of computers out there that have been bought over a period of time, you don't know what CPU they've got, or how much RAM they've got, or how much disk they've got, or what versions of everything is installed on them. So we've written a package for kind of collating all that information together and bundling it into a centralized database. Eventually, it goes via email, which is what we call our host info system. But even going beyond that, of course, you can use Debian packages for packaging applications, of course. Who would have thought it? And we do for some quite significant applications. So the electoral roll, which runs across about 20 or 30 machines in Auckland and Wellington, is kind of four packages that get installed on the different systems and pull in all the necessary work. Likewise, the .nz registry system, shared registry system, and TAB, things like that. So what do these things actually do? The way the user packages work, which are the kind of longest standing ones, that on installation, they set up basically a skeleton directory similar to etc scale, and copy those files in just as the skeleton does. It gets copied in on an account creation. Then when the package gets deleted, which is something that happens quite easily if there's a conflict with another package. So when we upgrade our systems administration team by installing a new systems administrator and having one that is superseded, we make that package conflict with the old one, and that results in the systems administration user being deleted but not purged. So that all of the account data is on the system, but the account is actually disabled, which means that you don't accidentally lose information, stuff that people leave floating around in their home directories that you suddenly discover as something that they should have stored somewhere more thoroughly backed up or something. And then once you know that you've got the stuff out of there, you purge the package, and that gets rid of the account completely and so on. The accounts, we use SSH for access to all of our systems, and there's no password logins or anything like that. So we wanted to switch to using sudo for root access recently, so we've taken the opportunity to create random passwords and email those to the users when they get installed. So also encourages email to work, which is pretty useful for administration. We also have the host info package, which gets this partitioning of users and so on. And that all goes to a queryable database at a central location, so that we can now search for all of our hosts that have a particular version of Apache or the Linux kernel or something on them, so that we can say, oh, that's the one that needs to be patched. which machines actually have Apache on them or so on, if there's any issues. And that's pretty useful as well. So, anybody got any questions about anything? Yeah.
To what extent is the script you're using the create account, the create user, or group, to what extent is that separated from the packaging system? So are you using standalone scripts that could be released or things like that, or are they kind of tied together so that you couldn't release one without, somebody use your script without getting your packaging system?
So to what extent our scripts that we use separated from the packaging system? I guess pretty completely, really. I mean, we're just using Debian packaging. So, but things like the ability to build a user package. So we have a tool called clone new user kind of thing, which you type in a few variables and it builds you a user package, and all you've got to do then is copy the SSH key in and the and just, Debian rules, of course it does, binary. And so it'll build you a package for that user. So we've got a script that basically builds the packages. And I can give that away, that's fine. I've given it away to lots of people in the past. Similarly, I guess, things like the host info stuff, yeah, there's nothing there that we kind of consider. We use it as tools to help us do our job, but we don't consider that there's any reason that it kind of other people shouldn't have it. We give away plenty of code as well, so there's no problem.
You're just using the base system to be using the user ad or whatever, not there's no other code you download that helps you do this.
Because we've got systems that are running on Woody still, unfortunately, and Sarge and Etch and Dapper as well. So all of the stuff that we've written works on all of those platforms. So we're trying very hard not to depend on particular stuff, right? So trying quite hard to be quite distribution neutral, I guess. Well, all Debian-based ones, but and so far as that, but neutral in terms of what tools are available within the release. Yeah, as Andrew said, it's just using the depends and so on standard stuff. And we get interesting things from time to time, so people wanting their package to conflict with Nano because they get really pissed off with that. Comes up as the default editor when they try and edit the cron tab or something, which is very tempting. So, yeah. So, any other question? Okay. There are some security aspects to doing things this way. When you give people the opportunity to make a package that installs themselves as a user, you're giving them the ability to run scripts as root, so you have to trust them to have root access, and you hope that they test anything off the wall that they're doing first. And likewise, anybody who's got any control over what goes in there. But when you're doing that, you've also got to, if you're running Debian already, you are already trusting all of the Debian developers who are responsible for the packages you install. So in a closed environment like ours, it's much easier to take that next leap and trust the people that you see in the office every day. So it's not quite so bad. Generally, though, we have particular groups of people who build these packages and so on. It's not really everybody in the company that does it. For one thing, not everybody's necessarily figured out what it is to build a Debian package. Although, when you get into it, it's actually quite simple, but a lot of people are quite terrified about that, just as they're terrified about building a new kernel or something. I shouldn't be. Yeah. So any other questions there? Anything else? Yeah. That's your talk. Okay, cool. I'll go along and learn. We use CF Engine as well as this. The thing that what we have are situations where systems have been around longer than we have, in some cases. So, I'm not sure that CF Engine is the right approach if you didn't get to build the box in the first place. Some of the stuff that we're doing now, we are trying to use CF Engine more, but we're still using CF Engine with this, so that CF Engine is actually, saying which packages to install and so on. And we're using these packages as well. So there's no, this is just some extra icing in some ways. A little bit of extra control and separate control. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. I beg your pardon? Is there a good how-to on building Debian packages? That's a good question, I guess. I haven't found one, but then I haven't really been looking for one for probably 5 or 6 years. So there are some quite simple ways to get started on building Debian packages. There are some simple packages that you can use as templates. Some very simple packages that you can use as templates. And if you have just kind of an empty directory that's got the right sort of naming, and you install dhmake, you can build a Debian package from practically an empty directory. So a package that just installs files somewhere in the file system, for example, can be quite easy because it doesn't have to do any complicated scripting. Okay. I'll let Holger have a go, perhaps. I mean, if anybody's got anything else to ask me? Holger's going to do it again. Yeah. Hey. Did you? Oh, yeah, sure. You're more familiar with that than me. Okay.